Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to hear the pulpit's coming. I really am. That we will have before the meeting starts. Other things we won't have. Did I tell you about our soundboards? I did, didn't I? And a lot of things we're going to be doing. So I think it's Duluth Trading Company, Stacy, that when you get there, ordered something for them, ordered a lot of stuff from them. I don't got nothing from Duluth on tonight. But it says, good news, your order has shipped. Now you can start checking on it like a madman every day, to see if it's coming. Praise God. Glory to God. So we are looking forward to all the good things coming up. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. How about holding this for me, because it's going to bother me. Good catch there, Butterfingers. Got a spear coming at you. You're protecting the eye. So she said, Margaret was walking in because she had just, planted some flowers out front and so forth. And she said, somebody said, you got something in your hair? And she said, it's probably mulch. And they said, what? And they looked. They said, it is mulch. And she said, well, I was putting down mulch this afternoon. So, amen. Okay. Glory to God. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Glad that you're with us. If you're online, amen. We love you. And we're so glad to have all of you tonight. And we're looking forward to good things from the Word of God. And we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 3. Amen. Proverbs, the third chapter. Glory to God. Verse number 5, Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Somebody says, well, how do you trust in the Lord? I mean, you can't see Him. Well, if you just see a stranger in the mall, would you trust him? No, you trust somebody because you've got their word, you've heard their word, they're faithful to their word, they keep their word, and they're trustworthy. So the way to trust in the Lord is to trust in His word. Amen. Thank God for the written word to unfold and unveil the living word, Jesus, to us. Amen. Glory to God. So we trust in the Lord. Amen. But when we trust in the word, we're to trust in the Lord. We're to trust in what His Word says and to lean not to our own understanding. In other words, not on what our minds tell us, or you could say what your head tells you. I'm using that, those terms to mean the same thing. So we trust in, I'm trying to think of the word for that. It's a simple word. It's a synonym. Amen. Praise God. Interchangeably. Glory to God. So we trust in the Lord with our hearts, not with our heads. In other words, not on what our minds tells us, our own understanding, based on information received from our five physical senses. Natural faith. So everybody has natural faith. Everybody has head faith. Amen. You believe what you see. And so natural faith or head faith is based on things we can see and feel, and then we know things because of what our senses tell us, based on physical evidence. That's natural head faith. Glory to God. But heart faith, or you could say Bible faith, is based on the truths of God's Word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So to believe in the heart is to believe what the Bible says apart from what our five physical senses tells us. To believe in the heart is to believe what the Bible says apart from what our mind tells us. I mean, that's what it means, just on a practical, everyday, usable understanding. It means to believe the Word, regardless of what it looks like, or seems like, or feels like. Amen? Would you give me that water right there, baby? Yeah, but I already opened this one. Thank you. Just want to make Margaret work. But the rub occurs. You know what the rub is, don't you? The rub occurs, the problem occurs, the difficulties occurs when human reasoning, our physical evidence, or our feelings, or what we can see contradicts what the Bible says. Then comes in the rub. Then what are you going to believe? Amen. I mean, God told the children of Israel to go in and take the land. Glory to God. He said, you're well able to possess it. And they looked over there and they saw the giants in the land, and they saw the great walled cities, and they saw all those fierce people, and they saw their little puny army in their own minds. And they said, we're like grasshoppers in those people's eyes. We cannot take the land. But God said, you can take the land. Yeah. Amen. So could they or could they not? Yeah. Well, they definitely could. But you got to remember, if you're there, you're fixing to send out your You know, you're fixing to go out and fight. You're fixing to send out your sons to fight. You're fixing to send out your husbands to fight. And they think they're all just going to be killed. It's a real thing to them. But I don't care how many giants were in the land. I don't care if those walled cities were twice as high, twice as thick. If God says you can take the land, then you can take the land. Amen. Glory to God. So our head, our senses, our feelings, our circumstances may say to you, your need is not met. And it sure looks like it's not met. I mean, you owe $1,200 by Friday. And it's Wednesday afternoon, and you don't have but 27 cents. And you have no way in the natural of getting any money between now and Friday. But the Word of God says, He supplies all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is that true or is it not true? Yeah, but you owe that money and you got to have it. 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 But the Word of God says, amen. See the rub. That's where the rub comes in. God's Word says, amen. Or your symptoms tell you, you're not healed. And it's a serious condition. But God's Word says Jesus took upon Himself your sicknesses and your infirmities. He bore them. He took them upon Himself and carried them away. And by His stripes, you are healed. Which one's true? God's Word says, you know, that you're forgiven and justified, but you don't feel like you're forgiven. You don't feel, you feel like you're unworthy and you feel like you're undeserving and God wouldn't do anything for you because, you know, you've messed up so bad. Yet the Word of God says you're forgiven, you're justified, you're highly favored. God's not against you. He's for you. He's cleansed you by the blood of Jesus and blessed you already with every spiritual blessing. Which one is true, your feelings or what God's Word says? Well, of course, we know the answer to those questions is what God's Word says. But it's real life when you're facing those situations. Obviously, we should believe what God's Word says, what the Bible says, instead of what our head tells us, instead of what our circumstances tells us, instead of what our symptoms tells us. Amen? But why? Why should we believe God's Word? I mean, we should because it's the Word of God and that's what faith is. But why? Maybe this will help you in our faith or help us in our faith. Why? Because natural facts are real. But here's what we need to understand. This is why you can believe the Word of God. Spiritual truths always trump natural facts. Spiritual truths, spiritual facts always trump natural truths and natural facts. And when we believe the Word, then our natural facts will change to come in line with and comply with the truth of God's Word. See, a Christian may live their whole life feeling uncondemned and unworthy, but they were all legally and in the mind of God, and for a fact, they were always worthy because they've been cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may never experience that, but it was always true of them. It was their faith that made the difference. And see, if they would have begun to believe the Word of God, know the Word of God, and believe the Word of God, and confess the Word of God, and act like the Word of God was true, then their feelings and their emotions would have come in line with the Word of God, and they could have lived a joyful, exciting life in Christ Jesus instead of just being always discouraged and down and thinking they were unworthy and guilty and condemned. Glory to God. So the Word says I'm healed, but my body says I'm sick. But when I believe in my heart, that means to believe apart from what your body tells you in this case. When I believe in my heart that God has healed me, that He has answered my prayer when I ask Him to heal me, or that I just see the truth that healing belongs to me and I, you know, took that by faith. When I see that, when I believe that in my heart, glory to God, then even though I don't feel any better, that healing will manifest in my body if I believe. Everybody say, if I believe. If I believe what the Word of God says over what my body tells me. Amen. So we need to understand some things here and see some things that will help us and to see further why we can and should believe the Word over our feelings. We all have to understand, and we do to a certain extent, that there are two different realms, there are two different worlds. You know, a fish in the sea, he didn't know anything about our realm, does he? With his little peanut brain. Although they seem like they're geniuses when we're trying to catch them sometimes, but with his little peanut brain, all he knows about is water. That's his world. But how many of you know that? I mean, there's a natural world that he doesn't know anything about. There's a heavenly realm that he doesn't know anything about. I mean, a natural outer space realm that he doesn't know anything about. And we need to understand that you and I are spiritual beings that live in a physical body. And the reason we live in this physical body is so that we can move in this physical realm and operate on this earth. So there is a spiritual world and there is a natural world. There is a spiritual realm, you could say, and a natural realm. And the Bible reveals, everybody say reveals. The Bible reveals knowledge to us about the spiritual world. That's how we know about heaven. That's how we know about hell. That's how we know about God. That's how we know about angels. That's how we know about the devil and demons. That's how we know about spiritual truths and spiritual realities. It didn't come through our senses. It's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. So we call that revelation knowledge. Now, sometimes, you know, and I understand that I use this terminology myself, so I don't want to get lost in semantics. Sometimes I'll say, I got a revelation of that scripture. Well, that scripture was always the revelation. What happened is the revelation was illuminated to our spirits, and we call that revelation. But this is the revelation. It's a revelation about God and about spiritual realities and about spiritual truth and about, heavenly things. And so the Bible is full of revelation knowledge. Our senses reveal information or knowledge to us about this physical world that we live in. Our senses reveal information to us about this natural world. And so we call that sense knowledge. Sense knowledge, or some have called it sense knowledge. So there is sense knowledge truth and revelation knowledge truth. Now watch this. If all we know about is sense knowledge truth, if that's all we know, what our senses reveal to us. In other words, we don't know anything about the Bible. We don't even believe in the Bible. Or even if we go to church every Sunday, we don't really, know that much about it because we just hear a bunch of religious traditions. If we don't know what the Word of God says, if all we know is sense knowledge truth, then we don't have the whole picture. You don't see the whole picture. Amen. And in our day, you understand, just in the last 200 or 300 years, we use all kind of, really just the last 100 years, 120 years, we use all kind of incredible scientific instrumentation, but all it does is help our senses see better. Microscopes just help our senses see better. Telescopes help our senses see better. Imaging machines and x-rays and mass spectrometers. I watch NCIS. They just help us, they just help our senses. And you could go on and list instrument after instrument after instrument that measures all kind of things that we can't see with the natural eye. But it just aids our senses see better so that we can know more about this natural world that you and I live in. But I don't care if you're the smartest man on the planet, the smartest man that ever lived, and you have more knowledge than anybody that ever lived, sense knowledge doesn't answer the great questions of life. Is there a God? Why are we here? What's our purpose? Is there a heaven? What's right? What's wrong? All kinds of philosophies. It doesn't answer any of those questions. No, the Bibles answer those questions for us. Can you say amen? And you see, sense knowledge, knowledge based upon the information we receive from our senses that we put in our minds and then reason and compute out, so to speak. Amen. But no scientific equipment in the world can see into the spirit world. None. Amen. You can't prove the existence of God. You can't prove the existence of heaven or hell. You can't prove the existence of angels. You can't see the... Are you a spirit being? Do you have a soul? Prove it! You can't prove it. You can, but not with sense knowledge. You say, I know that's the truth because of what the Bible says. I know it because it was revealed to me in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. It was revealed to me. And it is the truth. Amen. And there's people, I don't know how many, gosh, the stories just go on and on and on and on and on. Now this is whatever evidence when somebody just tells their experiences, but somebody leaves their body and all of a sudden they say, I was just as aware, their spirit, their soul leave their body and they say, I was just as aware as I always was. Matter of fact, because we only see our body in one particular dimension and they look down and kind of get a fuller realm of view and it takes them a while to understand that's them on the operating table. They've said, are them in the ambulance or whatever? Are them lying in the bed? And they say, you know, I had all my memories. Everything was real. Now all of a sudden I saw an angel standing. It was very, very real to them when they see into that realm. See, their spirit left their body. Their soul left their body. Their spirit and soul left their body. But spiritual instrumentations can't confirm spiritual realities or spiritual truths. You can't see somebody being born again. You can see the effects of being born again. You can see that it changes their outward conduct, but you can't see their spirit, man, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus, can you? But how do you know that you've been born again? That you actually, you know, you didn't just turn over a new leaf and decide to do better. No, your nature was changed. You were recreated spiritually. The old person spiritually you were died, and you became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We know that's the truth because it's revealed to us through the Word of God. Amen. And it is the truth. And if everybody's eyes could be, if their spiritual eyes could be suddenly opened, then even the most ardent atheist would say, I was wrong. There is a God. There is a heaven. There is a heaven. These truths are real. See, because they would see it, but they don't see it right now. And so that's why we need revelation knowledge, not just sense knowledge, because before I make a decision, don't you want to get the full picture? Well, you can't decide what you believe in life without seeing the full picture. Glory to God. And so we know that God and angels and the devil and heaven and hell and the Word of God, what it says, these things are true, these things are real. And you know, this spiritual world, here's what's funny about it, this spiritual world existed a long time before this natural realm came into existence, before this physical world came into existence. And when this physical world is blown up and gone, the spiritual world will still exist. Amen. Amen. So spiritual truths must be taken into account to see the whole picture and to know the truth. And again, the Bible, God's Word, reveals spiritual truth to us. So we call the Word revelation knowledge. And then when you see the whole truth, understand this, revelation knowledge always, everybody say always.
Always.
What is revelation knowledge? Always is good, but what is revelation knowledge? The Word of God. The Word of God, revelation knowledge always, now you can say always again,
always.
Supersedes natural knowledge and facts and truths. Always. In other words, if they contradict one another, which one's the absolute, final, absolute, the truth? What God said. What God said. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And revelation knowledge, Bible truths, you know, these things, the revelation knowledge is the truth. It is the truth. And when Christians believe the Bible, then what God's Word says will change the natural facts and cause them to line up with God's Word. In other words, when you believe God richly supplies all your needs, it's not true in the natural. It doesn't look like it's true. It doesn't seem like it's true. And it's a fact in the natural realm that it's not true. But when you believe what God's Word says, you know, and you act on God's Word, glory to God, then what God's Word says will change the natural facts, and it will manifest into your physical world, and your needs will be met in this everyday reality that you live in.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's how it works. Can you say amen? Amen. Now just stick with me, because I'm going to show you an example in a minute that makes all of this really clear. And so ultimately and finally, the Bible and what God says is the truth. I like what Miss C. Newsom said in her book, The Life of Faith. She said this. She says, she's talking about the Bible, the truth, revelation knowledge. She says, our belief or unbelief in the truth does not affect it in the least. Our belief or unbelief in the truth does not affect it in the least, but unbelief keeps us from having the benefit of it. Did you get that? Our belief or unbelief in the truth does not affect it in the least, but unbelief keeps us from having the benefit of it. So somebody came along, you said, and I agree with this, it's a good statement. They said, God said it, you know, I believe it, and that's it, huh? That settles it. But really, God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, then you experience it. God said it, that settles it, and when you believe it, it becomes true in your everyday reality. Well, we want it to be true in our everyday reality, don't we? Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read several verses here to you, so I'm going to read it to you from today's English version, but you can follow along overhead or in whatever you're reading your Bible out of there. And just for clarity's sake, 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse number 8. You ready? 2 Kings 6, 8, the king of Syria was at war with Israel. Israel, you know, that's one of their great enemies, God's people, the Syrians. The king of Syria was at war with Israel, and so he, that is the king of Syria, consulted his officers and chose a place to set up his camp. But Elisha the prophet of God, sent word to the king of Israel, warning him not to go near that place, because the Syrians were waiting in ambush there. Elisha knew by the Spirit, you know, he didn't see it, see, but the Spirit of God let him know, revealed to him that the Syrian army was going to be in that area and to set up an ambush and kill the, you know, Israelites, make war against the Israelites. But Elisha sent word to the king of Israel, verse 9, warning him not to go to that place because the Syrians were waiting in ambush there. So the king of Israel warned the men who lived in that place, and they were on guard. This happened several times, or over and over again. How does it say, you know? Not just once or twice. In other words, this happened repeatedly. So the Syrian king became greatly upset, verse 11. He called his officers and asked them, which one of you is a traitor? Which one of you is on the side of the king of Israel? And one of the answers said, no one is, your majesty. The prophet Elisha tells the king of Israel what you say, even in the privacy of your bedroom. Find out where he is, the king ordered, and I'll capture him. We got to stop him. If we're going to win, I mean, you'd think that somebody that had that kind of ability and power by the God of the universe would back off, but, you know. When he was told that Elijah was in Dothan, he sent a large force there with horses and chariots. Large force. In other words, he's got a whole, you know, big, I don't know what you'd call it, brigade, a whole bunch of soldiers and horses and troops there just to get this one prophet. They reached the town at night and surrounded it. I mean, you got to have a lot to surround the whole town, wouldn't you think? Early the next morning, Elisha's servant got up, went out of the house, and he saw the Syrian troops with their horses and chariots surrounding the town. He sent back to Elisha and exclaimed, "We are doomed, sir. What shall we do?" You know, the King James, the New King James says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Well, you know, alas, in modern day terms, is uh-oh. You know, we're in big trouble. And if you're worldly or in the world, you probably throw in a few cuss words in there. He said, uh-oh. We're in deep trouble. We're in big trouble. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, you know. And so it says, Elisha said, don't be afraid. Verse 16, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, I've got to be afraid. I've got to be afraid. I mean, you got this problem, that problem. Don't be afraid. He didn't say that there wasn't a real army out there. He just said, don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs. Then he prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord answered his prayer, and Elijah's servant looked up and saw the hillside covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Horses and chariots of fire. In other words, he saw a great angelic army surrounding Elisha. He saw into the spiritual realm. And as you read on in this story, because of this angelic army, Elisha, the prophet, took the whole Syrian army forces captive. He caused blindness to come upon them, took them to the king of Israel, and then he prayed for their eyes to be opened so they weren't, you know, permanently blinded. But they were like, what are we doing here? We're defenseless, surrounded by the enemy. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now several things I want to say here. Verse 16 again. I'm convinced Elijah did not see into the realm of the Spirit. He was walking by faith, not by sight. He knew, because he had a covenant with God, that there was more with them than the others. See, the Psalms of David have already been written by this time. Plus, you know, he knew, just like all Israelites, all their past and all their history. He knew things. Amen. So he said, do not fear, For those that be with us are more than that be with them. He knew, he had a covenant with God. He knew, as Psalms 3:6, as many others, but he knew, as Psalms 3:6 said, and Psalms 34:7 says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. He knew that. He knew, amen, the 91st Psalm. It says he gives his angels charge over me. 1,000 shall fall at my one side and 10,000 at the other side, but it will not come near me. He knew, as Psalms 27:3 said, though an army may encamp against me. You know what it means for an army to encamp against you? That means an entire army surrounds you. He's one man, and David that wrote Psalms 27 saying, if an entire army surrounds me, I will not fear, even in war, even when I'm surrounded by enemy troops. I will be confident that God will protect me and deliver me and cause me to overcome. Now, we got a better covenant based on better promises. I think we need to step up our game a little bit, don't you? You know, what you used to hear way, way back, we don't say it anymore because everybody goes, oh, yeah, we're better than that now, but maybe we're not. Used to hear people always say, like, we're living far below our spiritual rights. But I think we are. Somebody says, well, you know, but something happened to me and I don't care. Just forget about it. Pick yourself up and walk by faith. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what happened. If he shows you good, if he doesn't, nothing changes his word. Thank you, Jesus. The one entire army. So he told his servant, because his servant said, hey, man, we're in deep trouble here. I mean, you know, uh-oh, look out. We're doomed, as that one translation says. And so when he told his servant, look here. There's more on our side than be with them. Don't worry about them guys. Don't worry about all. What do you mean, don't worry about it? They're going to kill us all. I'm telling you, don't worry about it. So he saw the confused look on his face. And so he says in verse number 17, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Open up his spiritual eyes. Let him see into the realm of the spirit. Let him see. You know, all he knows is sense knowledge. All he knows is what his sense is telling. Reveal to him what's really going on here. Reveal to him the spiritual realm. One translation says, the voice translation says, allow my servant to see heavenly realities. Oh, that's a good prayer. Say that right now. Say, Lord, allow me to see, heavenly realities. Every time I read the Bible, I'm seeing heavenly realities. And so he saw into the spirit realm, and he saw the mountain full of an angelic army ready to deliver him. Do you think he was afraid after that? I said, do you think he was afraid after that? I mean, right here, you don't have to turn there, but I think it's chapter 19. Did I write that down? Yeah, chapter 19, verse number 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. One angel killed 185,000. And they were surrounded by an angelic army. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so no wonder, you know, the prophet said, hey, there's more to be with us than be with them. Oh, can you say amen? Amen. And so the servant saw this mountain full of this of army ready to deliver them. Now watch this. This heavenly army was invisible. It could not be perceived with your natural senses. Was it really there? Was it really there? Of course it was really there. But you couldn't see it. You could be the smartest men in the world with the greatest instruments of our time. Somehow or another, travel back to that time. And you couldn't prove it. But it was. So what was, you see, it was a natural fact that there was no army out there. In other words, natural in the sense that it could not be perceived by the senses. But was there a natural army there? A spiritual army, rather. Of course. And so, like I said, let's just say you took the smartest people on the planet in our day, and you could somehow transfer them back to that particular day in history, and they could take the most sophisticated equipments known to man, and they could use every kind of science known to man, and they could put up all their instruments, and they could see Elisha, and they could see the servant, and they could see that great Syrian army out there, and they could set up all their equipment, and you know, they're kind of like Thomas. They're kind of like, I will not believe unless I can see. I believe in science. And they could say, according to science, it is an absolute fact that you are outnumbered. There is no other army out there. You are outnumbered. Scientific evidence says that there's not more with you than be with them. There is no reason to believe you're safe. There's no logical reason to think that you're safe. There's absolutely no proof whatsoever that there is an angelic army out there. And they would be completely, totally, absolutely wrong. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. Amen. And I'm telling you, if they could be transferred back there and they could be, you know, mostly atheists, if God opened up their spiritual eyes, they would say, we were wrong. We were wrong. We didn't know about this other realm, but we're seeing both worlds right now. There is another world. It's real. It's real. It's real. We're wrong. We're wrong. We're wrong. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? See, so even though something is a natural fact, that doesn't mean it's the truth. Whatever God says is the truth. And when we believe, again, when we believe the truth, it will change the natural facts and cause them to comply and get in line with the truth. Way back when I was going to Ramah, Sherry and I went to Ramah the same year, I remember Dr. Ken Stewart telling the story. You know, because he had a message, charismatic children, talking about children growing up in the faith and so forth. And he said one of the ministers told him, I guess it was a Ramah student from a former year, said that he heard some noise in the middle of the night. He knew his son had not anything super serious, but he had like a fever and cold and flu-like symptoms and so forth. He said he's just a little 10-year-old boy. And he said, I heard him talking. And he was talking loud, and he was saying over and over again. And he said, so I slipped out of bed and went in there to his bedroom door and put my ear up to the door. And he said, it looked inside, and he said he was walking back and forth saying, body, get in line with the word. Body, get in line with the word. Body, you are healed. Now you get in line with the word. Body, you are healed. Now get in line with the word. Body, you are healed. Now get in line with the word. Body, you are healed. Get in line with the word. And he said, he just said that over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. And you know what? His body got in line with the word. And he was healed. Can you say amen? Amen. So God knows and sees and understands. Watch this now. Listen to what I'm saying. He knows, he sees, and he understands things way beyond what we know. Way beyond what our senses reveal to us. Way beyond human reasoning. Way beyond man's wisdom. And when I say way beyond, I mean, number one, he's infinitely smarter than all of us put together. Because we're going, well, you don't have to figure it out. All you have to do is believe, but I'm just trying to load your gun and help you to believe. He's infinitely smarter than all of us. Number two, when I say way beyond, I mean way beyond in the sense that he knows things outside the scopes and limits of this natural world. Things that we can't even begin to know about. There may be all kind of worlds out there that we don't know about. And when he looks and sees you, he's telling you the truth. And it is the truth. It's not the truth just because you believe it. It is the truth, whether you believe it or not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bottom line, what he says works, and it is the truth. And so the unseen but very real spiritual realm must be taken into consideration in all our beliefs, and all of our philosophies, and all of our doctrines, all of our worldviews. To me, it's incredibly irrational, incredibly unwise, incredibly foolish. And I know we're just teaching tonight, but you can handle it. If you want a sucker, go back there into the children's church. To me, it's incredibly irrational, incredibly unwise, incredibly unacademic to decide something or to draw a conclusion or to form an opinion without hearing from God, without hearing from the spiritual realm. without hearing what the Word of God says about the subject. In the first place, if you don't know what the Word of God says about it, if you don't have revelation knowledge, then you don't have all the truth. So you can't make an intelligent decision. And then once you hear it, why would you do that? Amen? In other words, why would you form an opinion or draw a conclusion or decide, make a decision about your life and form an opinion without first knowing spiritual truth? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you know, some people, I remember a man saying to me, this is way, 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 way back. This is probably goes back to the late 70s. And he was like, oh, just go ahead. Just go ahead. I just hope you don't get disappointed. Just go ahead. I hope you don't, you know, I hope you make it. In other words, he's a relative actually and cared about me. And he's concerned that I'm basing my life on something that's shaky. Are you kidding me? There is no more sure foundation than the truth of God's Word. There is nothing more rational than you can do than to believe God's Word. There's nothing more real than God's Word. There's nothing you can trust in more than you can trust in the Word of God. Can you say amen? It's the safest thing you can do. And actually, it's irrational and unsafe not to build your life upon the truths of God's Word. It's irrational and unsafe not to believe God's Word. We don't talk about it because heaven forbid we say somebody not operating in faith. But over and over again in the Old Testament says, woe unto Israel. Well, I don't exactly know what woe means in the Hebrew. But if God ever appears to you or Jesus ever appears to you and says, woe unto you, then begin to suck rug and repent immediately. Because it's not good. It's not good. And he says, woe unto you that go down to Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. Woe unto you that go to Egypt and trust in chariots and trust in horses instead of trusting in me. It's actually unsafe not to trust God. It's actually irrational not to trust God. Are you listening to me? Amen. Glory to God. And so I don't ever want to make a decision or draw a conclusion or form an opinion without first knowing what the spiritual truths, which are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word and gives us the much needed ability to know things beyond our five physical senses. Thus, we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, when God says something about us, but everything in the natural desire, in the natural world denies it, there's a rub. There's a rub. It's easy to talk about when you feel good and got money in the bank and, you know, everybody loves you and you don't have any problems and don't have any problems at work, don't have any problems in the family. But when you're facing some difficulty and some problem, how do you know there's pressure? They tell you your six-year-old, you know, has a disease. There's pressure. When you don't have enough money to feed your babies, there's pressure. I remember being at Rhema. Of course, you understand in the financial realm, you learn this more and more and more as the years go by. Is sometimes, you know, you didn't mean to be necessarily, but sometimes you were doing some unwise things, and that was part of the problem. Well, we weren't doing a great deal of unwise things in managing our money. Basically, we didn't have any money to manage. You know. But like I've said, when Sheila's a little girl and she just, you know, 3 years old, and Heather's right there is a year and a half old, and you don't have any food in the house. There's no such things as credit cards in those days. There's no debit cards. You got 79 cents in the bank account. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about, you know, we're a little low on groceries and we're down to our last three loaves of bread. I'm talking about there's nothing but ice water and ketchup in the refrigerator. A little hard to make a meal out of. Margaret's a miracle worker, but it's a little hard to make a meal out of ice water and ketchup. And the devil's screaming at your mind. And, you know, you got to quit. You got to quit. You got to quit. You got to quit. You got to go out and get a regular job, you know, because I was going to Rhema. I knew in my particular situation, the Lord said, you know, you're not here to get a career job, so you're here to go to school. So I went to school, you know, 8:30 to 12, whatever it was. I don't remember, but, you know, got out at 12. And so I could work a regular job. Worked at Oral Roberts University, who's in the Sweet 16. So I worked at Oral Roberts University, who's in the Sweet 16, in basketball championships. And, second time in the history of the NCAA regulations, the number 15 seed has made it to the Sweet 16. I can see that thrills you, but yeah. When Oral Roberts was alive, he had a dream of them winning the NCAA National Championship. You want somebody to explain that to you back there? Lynn Connor's going, I don't know what the heck is out of this. The sweet what? Beat the University of Ohio and then beat the University of Florida. Big name schools. Because they were 64 to start with. So when you win two games, then you're down to 16. And they call that the Sweet 16. And it's a big deal to make the Sweet 16.
We're excited.
And it's Oral Roberts University.
Yes, right.
Conservative Christian school. Bible believing, spirit filled, tongue talking school.
Amen.
The president of ORU used to live here in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Amen.
Okay.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Golden
Eagles. You know, Cleveland Christian School used to be the Eagles. We were the Eagles for years and years and years and years and years. And James Farmer changed our name to the Crusaders to match Rhema because they were the Rhema Crusaders. And the very next year, Rhema changed their name to the Rhema Eagles. We're Crusaders for Christ. Crusaders, because Rhema has a worldwide ministry, doesn't necessarily have a politically correct good connotation around the world. You can ask your husband about that, or you can ask your wife about that when you get home. So anyway, we literally don't have anything but ice water in the refrigerator. The devil's screaming at me, you've got to quit. You know, you've got to go get a real job. I mean, I made minimum wage. Plus, I'm not going to get paid for another 7 or 8 days, and we don't have any food, and no credit cards, no money in the bank, no way to get money. Babies, you're the father. I had a Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice. Been a police officer for 4 years. I've really never seen this. I guess it happens, Doug, every once in a while, but the Tulsa Police Department was doing advertisements begging for people to come down and apply to be on the police force. Now, I know that I can walk down there and walk in the door with my Bachelor's of Science in Criminal Justice and my 4 years experience, and they will hire me pretty much on the spot, and I will make 3.5, maybe 4 times as much money as I'm making. Yeah, but you got God's word. Yeah, but my babies are crying because they don't have food. Which one's true? Which one's true? I took the Bible and I started in Genesis and I read every scripture that I could think of, every scripture that I knew that said, see, I put the word before my eyes, you know, because confidence, faith, assurance comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I would read every scripture that said, God supplied my needs and, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and all the way through the New Testament. And I would do that for about 30 minutes and all the pressure and all the whatever would just seem to dissipate and leave. And I'd get up and I'd say, I don't care what it looks like. I know that I know that I know that I know that my God richly supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But when the situation was that intense, all that pressure would try to come back on me 15 minutes later. And I would get in the Bible and I would read those scriptures, same scriptures, again and again and again and again and again and again. And then I would stand up again and say, and I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on the truth. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it seems like. I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. I'm leaning not to my own understanding. My needs are met. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care if a bird has to bring us food. We're going to have food. Somebody says, well, what happened? Well, they died from starvation. What do you think? They're sitting right there. They did good. God blessed us and we were taken care of. Glory to God. But there was a battle at times. Can you say amen? Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Amen. Faith believes God's word, believes God's word without any physical proof, even when natural facts say it's not so. It's the most rational, safe thing you can do. Most importantly, I'm closing with this two line sentence. When you believe, then you receive, then you overcome, then you become a great blessing to others. And, everybody say and.
Amen.
You overcome every satanic roadblock trying to stop the work of God and your great role in His kingdom. It's not just about me getting my needs met. It's me using my faith to overcome and do whatever it is that God has called me to do so that His kingdom will be advanced, so that people will not die and go to hell, so Christians will not suffer from a lack of knowledge of the truths of God's Word, and so that people will be encouraged and blessed and taught. And whatever your role is in the kingdom of God, there's going to be obstacles to get in your way, and it takes faith to overcome those obstacles so that you can be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So I'm trusting in the Lord. Say it. I'm trusting in the Lord.
I'm trusting in the Lord.
With all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
And I lean not
to my own understanding.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, we love you so much. Good to see you. Glory to God. Things are good. Things are good. Things are on the uptake.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
Glory to God. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord.